What is the cloud? Where is the cloud? Why is this such a key buzzword in 2018? That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening?
You're listening to the People in Tech Podcast, a technology show that's made for the people. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. We have another great episode in store for you today. First of all, I just want to say I hope you enjoyed your long weekend, because I know you guys are waiting for a new episode of your favorite tech show out there, and you wanted to hear from your host, Caleb King, the boy himself. And I got my trusty partner, Lion, in the studio today. But today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit more tech. And some of the things I've noticed is people have been reaching out to me asking some very good tech questions. And I'm going to start doing more episodes like this in the future, where we highlight a technology and we just go over it from a high level, try and answer some of the general questions that I'm getting. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about what is the cloud. Now, I know some of you who are developers, you know exactly what the cloud is. And I know some of you who aren't tech people at all, you're like, where is the cloud? Is it just in the air? Like, every time I see clouds, like, is that where my stuff is going? I don't have clouds where I live. Like, so there's nothing being saved? Like, what is this mystery cloud thing people talk about? It's a very popular buzzword in the tech community. But today we're going to be going over cloud 101 basics. And yeah, it should be a great episode. So let's get into it.
Caleb, don't forget to tell the listeners how they can support the show. We don't want to forget about the day one supporters.
Yes. Thank you, Sharon, for reminding me. So yes, day one listener, before we kick off today's episode, for those of you who don't know, I use the Anchor platform as my podcasting, hosting, marketing site, everything in between, right? And Anchor now made it very easy for all of the supporters out there to contribute to our content creation. Now, I do this for fun, and I want all my listeners to understand that I am not begging or seeking money from you, but any money that we acquire for the podcast, all we're really asking for is you can contribute $1 to the show. And I believe when the new iPhone comes out, I might have a sweepstakes about possibly getting some of our day one supporters a chance to win a free iPhone if they are a true day one supporter. So you can actually support us by either going on the website, anchor.fm/people-in-tech, and you're going to see a option to donate whatever you feel donating for. And again, like, we're just asking for a dollar. If you feel like you love the show, you want to put $50, trust me, I'm going to take care of you. We might even get you on the show. But for now, we're just starting off small. And really, I don't plan to use the money for my own financial gain. I really am planning on using it to help somewhere in the community, whether it's partnering with STEM or Women in Technology or something local to Arizona. But again, if you want to support the show, if you want to support your boy, you want to support us in the Don't Quit Your Day Job Studios, me, DJ Side Hustle, Lion, everybody who makes this show possible, you know, just go ahead and show whatever support you can. But enough of me trying to sell and market myself. Let's get back into the episode. Today, again, we're talking about the cloud. We're talking about what is it? Why should you care? You know, some of the things that come to mind is people come to me and they ask, like, hey, Caleb, you're a tech person. Like, what's the cloud? What's the internet? What are TCP, IP? What's JavaScript? What's Java? And again, I want to do more episodes like that. I want to make sure the content I'm delivering to you guys is actually educating you, but it's not boring. That was one of the main reasons I wanted to start this podcast. I have a lot of podcasts I enjoy, but I feel like I was going to a lecture. But I'm going to keep it fun and entertaining. But before we talk tech, I got to let my man DJ Side Hustle give you guys a little bit of a beat. That way you can start your morning off, your day off in the right way. DJ, give the people what they want.
Thank you.
Now, if anybody who's been on my show, you know me. I like to keep it simple. I'm not going to get super technical with you. But remember, the show is for the people. Anybody interested in tech, interested in learning about tech, or interested in about the topic. So, the cloud is basically the internet or a network of servers. And that's it. Episode done. Thank you for coming into the People in Tech podcast. I'm kidding. But let me repeat myself. A cloud is basically the internet or a network of servers. What do I mean? What the heck did that mean, Caleb? Let's go into more detail. Using cloud computing means storing and accessing data and programs over the internet instead of your computer's hard drive. With an online connection, cloud computing can be done anywhere, anytime. So the notion of network-based computing dates back to the 1960s, but many believe the first use of cloud computing in its modern context was when Google's CEO Eric Schmidt introduced the term to an industry conference in 2006. And I quote, "What's interesting now is that there is an emergent new model. And what Schmidt said, I don't think people have really understood how big this opportunity really is. It starts with the premise that the data services and architecture should be on servers. We call it cloud computing. They should be in a, quote, cloud somewhere." Ultimately, what Schmidt was trying to say is cloud computing had been introduced to the masses when the internet started to offer significant bandwidth. The term began to be more and more used the following year when companies like Amazon, Microsoft, and IBM started to offer cloud-based solutions. Now, I know what I just described still might be going over your head, but let me paint a picture to help you understand what the cloud is. Now, back in the old days, let's say I wanted to start one of my companies like Vegan Eats, right? I'm trying to deliver vegan food. I'm not vegan, but I'm trying to deliver vegan food like Uber Eats delivers all other types of food. Now, in the old days, before 2018, before Amazon, before Google, before IBM offered cloud services, what you would have to do, you would have to consult with somebody who understood hardware. So let's say I'm the CEO, I know how to build and code, but I don't know how to actually run my software, which would probably be a bad developer, but that's okay. Let's just go with this scenario. I would have to seek and consult with somebody. I'm like, hey, I have this app that needs to be run on some type of server because I want people to go to the internet, go into veganeats.io, log in, and be able to order vegan food and have it delivered to their door. Well, somebody who understood hardware and servers would go back to me and be like, well, how much traffic are you expecting? You know, how much CPU power, how much memory, how much storage, what kind of data are you collecting, how much data are you collecting? They would ask me a plethora of questions. And ultimately, what we would come out is, hey, we need to buy, for example, a $10,000 server that I need to put in my home and make sure it is ready to withstand anything. Now, the problem with that and the hassle with that is, let's say I live in Arizona and a monsoon hits. My server gets damaged. No one cares that my servers get damaged. They just know they can't get to the site and order their food anymore. So back in the old days, somebody like me, or I have to consult with my hardware friend here, to either buy a new server, repair the server, but yeah, ultimately what ended up happening, you have to buy a new server. Another thing that could go wrong is you have to hopefully be accurate with the server you're buying. So think of it like buying a car. You might buy a Prius, right? A fuel efficient car, but then you find out that you need to go off-roading. Well, now you have a car payment and a car that's fuel efficient, but it's not built to go off-roading, so you're kind of stuck. You can't switch. Same thing with servers. Like, if you buy a server with certain specs it's hard to just either downgrade or upgrade. Always easier to upgrade, of course, but you can't downgrade, for example. But say you're paying too much. You're like, oh, I spent $10,000. Well, you really only needed a $2,000 server. Well, that's on you. Let's say your company blows up, and let's say you got so many people going to your site, you need three more $10,000 servers. Well, you have to buy them. So I hope you guys are seeing the dilemma here is I have to manage these servers. Let me bring it back even further for you before the internet was what we know it as today. Let's say I had Vegan Eat, but I set it up in New York. Let's say I went to one of the top vegan restaurants in New York City, went out there, I put the software on a server out in New York. But I live in LA, for example. If anything happened to that server, I would have to go out to New York, fix the server, hopefully fix it to the point where I can leave and not worry about it again. And if it broke again, I would have to buy another plane ticket and fly back and fix it. That is not only tedious and annoying, but that's expensive to travel just to fix a box that, who knows, somebody, all they have to do is plug it in and restart it or turn it off, turn it on, something like that, right? So I hope you see the problem with the way it used to be done. It was expensive, it was tedious, it was time consuming. So companies like Google and Amazon and IBM and Microsoft, because they're so large, because they have so many people using their site, a whole new business was created. And the idea was, why would somebody like Caleb buy his own server when Amazon already has the top servers? Amazon has servers all over the world, actually. Amazon has it set up to where if there was a hurricane in Florida and my server was in Florida, it would reroute traffic to the East Coast, let's say maybe like Maine. Let's say their backup server's in Maine. They're like, oh, don't, a server in Florida went down, just reroute all traffic to Maine. Oh, Maine's having a storm too, reroute traffic all the way to Oregon. They have an infrastructure set up where they're like, we already do it like the pros. If you're an amateur, you can just pay us a fee and you get pro type service. So that's ultimately how these cloud businesses like Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud Platform, DigitalOcean, Heroku, all these, that some of them are called platform as a service, some of them are called infrastructure as a service. You can call it whatever you want, but the way I look at it is it's a server that you're pretty much renting. So that way you don't have to worry about the hassle of managing your own server.
How does it work? Is it magic?
No, Sharon, it's no magic, just computer science at its finest. So I'm sure you guys have seen pictures. If you Google right now, like data center or servers, you're going to see a room full of computers all tied up with no monitors, no screen, and you might just see a person in a long hallway analyzing maybe a subsection of all the servers. But ultimately, the way it works, each file stored in the cloud is stored in a server somewhere in the world. Again, remember I was saying the example of it might be in Florida, might be in Oregon, might be on the East Coast, might be on the West Coast, might be in the Midwest, might be in another country. I don't know. But it's stored somewhere in the world. And depending on which company they use, they have what they call regions, which I'll go into later. But it's pretty hard to know the precise location of your data, as companies are using multiple servers, multiple server locations around the world. So to sum it up, your files are stored on a server, and there are people who maintain the servers in good care. And the internet connection makes your files accessible to you by accessing those servers. Now, a benefit of using a cloud, using a cloud service, again, going back to the whole, I have to manage my own servers. Now, here's the thing. Again, if there was some disaster, let's say Lion was, you know, running around the house and he got a bone, and just like in the movies, he slips on the rug and then pulls under, you know, the servers, and the server comes crashing and falling down, and it cost me $10,000 and the server's broken. Well, people not only can't hit my service anymore on the internet, but I have to replace this server. Who knows how long it might take me to get a new server, get it set up. It might take days, it might take weeks. depending on the server, I might have to order it, have to get it shipped, have to plug it up, have to install the software on it. Like, that is a whole, that's an entire ordeal. And again, I'm not prepared. Like, I'm talking about putting a big box in your house. I'm not prepared if I were to lose my house in a hurricane or something like that. And these companies like Amazon, IBM, and Google, and Microsoft, their whole business is banking on making sure these servers provide some software as a service solution. So they have these server centers that are 100% dedicated to ensure they can withstand anything. I'll give you an example. In Arizona, we have monsoon season. Monsoon season, it's pretty much a lot of wind, a lot of rain, and it comes and goes. It's nothing like a hurricane. But imagine getting your server wet. Imagine getting any computer wet. You're going to have problems. Well, a server center, like the one Google and Amazon has, they have these rooms dedicated to keep the servers at the appropriate temperature. They have ceilings that are concave, so if it were to, you know, crack, let's say like water was able to get through the ceiling, these concave ceilings are literally designed so if water doesn't fall directly on the computer, it falls on the edges. Like, think of like a, you know, like a half ball, for example, and like anytime you drop a water droplet on the ball, it doesn't go straight through the ball. It goes around the ball to the edges. Like, they have the architecture and design to ensure that these servers can withstand a lot of different type of natural disasters. If a room were to flood, these servers are raised maybe about 4 to 5 feet from off the ground. So in case the server room was to flood, the servers are still pretty high where they can not worry about the water hitting the servers immediately. Now, if you got like 24 inches of water, then like that facility that might be lost. But if you had 12 inches, it might be ready for it. It might be like, oh, we can take care of it later, but the servers are still running. All that kind of stuff, the way I look at it, again, these are companies who are the pros. And why would you set up your own server unless you might have good reason? If you're like my boy Andrew, who did a security debunks episode, Andrew got his own servers. Like, when I talk to Andrew, he's like, oh, I got my own server at home. I got that thing set up and configured. But see, that takes time. That takes maintenance. That means that he has to accept that risk and accept that he has to support that server. Now, for somebody like Andrew who has a skill set to do it, might not be a big thing. But let's say we're talking to Mary Jo. Mary Jo don't know a thing about computers, but she just wants to sell cupcakes. She doesn't have to worry about servers and CPU and RAM and storage when she don't know anything. She's like, dude, I make cupcakes. Just tell me what I have to pay to make sure my site is still going and make sure people can use the app and make sure that when people log on, restaurants are logging on, they can, you know, sell her cupcakes, whatever the case is. So it's a whole idea of convenience. Ooh, now again, we were talking about how it works, but, you know, the cloud, what for? Like, what is a cloud for? And it's really for basic daily things now, you know, checking your email. You know, you look at Gmail, for example. If you are in LA, Chicago, Phoenix, Houston, Austin, Miami, Seattle, Portland, like any major city, you just need internet, you can access your Gmail. You don't have to be at work under, you know, your work network to access your Gmail. You can access it from anywhere as long as you have an internet connection. You know, the cloud enables you to run what's known as web applications. So again, Gmail, you go to the web. It's an application where you log in and you get sensitive data that you're looking for. And, you know, also allows you to run apps that you don't necessarily need to be downloaded on your computer. It just allows you, you know, gmail.com, yahoomail.com. Probably don't use Yahoo since they've been hacked and they're not really a company anymore. But you guys get the point, right? Pretty much most services you can access through the internet is leveraging the cloud. And again, the advantage of the cloud is let me worry about maintaining and ensuring it works and it's available to you at all times. And you, the consumer, the client, all you have to do is know to go to gmail.com, you know your username and password, and bam, you are good to go. Now, one thing I want to address is some of the advantages of the cloud in more depth. The advantage of the cloud, of cloud storage, they're numerous. It gives you flexibility as your data is accessible from any device as long as you have an internet connection. It gives you a backup if your computer, phone crash as your data is stored on one or more external devices. I, Team Apple, Team iPhone all day, every day, no, I have my iCloud, and my iCloud allows me to record a podcast episode. And let's say somebody were to hack me or steal my MacBook Pro as I'm traveling, speaking at a conference, and guess what? I lost all my episodes on my computer. That's okay, because all of it's backed up to the cloud. So if you can literally destroy a computer, and I still have it on my phone, I can still log into iCloud and access my episodes, you know. That's why like Apple and Android and all these companies are kind of doing this whole cloud service solution where they're like, do you know your cloud username and password? Set up your devices. Because back in the old days, anything on my computer was on my computer. If I lost my computer, I lost all my photos. That was the problem with some people with the iPhones and Android phones, that they would lose a phone and be like, I lost all my text messages, I lost all my photos, all my videos, and they're like, yeah, that sucks. Sorry, we don't have a solution for you, should have backed it up. And you're like, when were they gonna back, who thinks about backing stuff up? So, anyways, the cloud is a solution for you where it pretty much is available to you anywhere, everywhere, because it's on multiple servers. And you're just using your MacBook, your iPhone, your iPad, your Galaxy, your Note, your Pixel, whatever device you're using, you're just using the internet to acquire and look and view and create whatever content it is you're looking for on these multiple servers out there. But you guys know your boy is studying cybersecurity. So the next thing I want to address, is it secure? Is the cloud secure? That is a very good question. And I was actually hesitant at first. I didn't jump on the cloud because I'm like, man, that can't be secure. It's on somebody else's server. It's not my server. So let me give you a quote. I'm going to tell you who did the quote after, okay? But some of the biggest concerns of cloud storage are privacy and security. Here's a quote. We believe the customer should be in control of their own information. You might like the so-called free services, but we don't think they're worth having your email, your search history, now even your family photo data mined and sold off for God who knows what advertising purposes. And we think someday customers will see this for what it is. End quote. You know who said that? If you have to take a guess, I'm going to give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. I'm talking Tim Cook, Apple CEO. He said this. I was actually kind of shocked when I found out he made that statement because, you know, we did the episode a few months back about Facebook and GDPR and, you know, ensuring my data, and you can't get my data secure, and Cambridge Analytica selling off data they weren't supposed to. But again, going back to it, is the cloud secure? You know, after all, you're storing very personal information on someone else's computer, or at least on an unknown server somewhere in the world. So this implies that you are giving up control. This includes the possibility of having your data hacked or stolen, talking about photos, personal documents, etc. You know, you're talking about stuff being mined for advertising purposes or requested for by the government. So while the cloud service often tends to get you free storage for maybe the first few gigabytes, there's a hidden cost of losing control over your files. So it's not as simple yes or no, is it secure? But you have to remember, security is all about protecting your assets and mitigating risk. So if you have, and I always like to think of security like a building. If you put a fence around a building, that's one layer of security. Probably make it harder for people to get to it. If you have a fence and then let's say retina scanner, now you have two layers of security, a little bit harder to get into. Let's say you had a fence, retina, and fingerprint. Now you have three layers. And every layer, at some point, you just have to determine, I'm paying so much to protect it. Is my asset worth this much for protection? And what Tim Cook was trying to elaborate is, hey, you are giving access of your data to these companies, and it's on their servers, and you're just really trusting that they make sure that your data is intact, and you know they keep their end of the bargain, the whole integrity aspect of holding on to data. And that's why people were upset with Facebook, that Cambridge Analytica leveraged Facebook, and they were able to get all this data off of people. But the problem is Facebook was like, we can't control everybody who uses our APIs, and the government was like, yes, you can, and you should, because you guys are changing the way data is being distributed, and these companies are leveraging your framework to make a quick buck. So that's why Facebook, and now I'm sure you've seen all these advertisements on your feed and wall about, oh, like, we're making sure the elections and integrity and identity and everything like that is ensured, because we want to make sure something like Cambridge Analytica doesn't happen again. And the last thing I want to inform you guys about when talking about cloud services, we talked about the public cloud, but I also mentioned there's a private cloud. Now, what's the difference? Well, public cloud typically delivers a pay-as-you-go model for storing your data on an unknown server. At the opposite, a private cloud implies a hardware, storage, or network that is dedicated to one person, one client, or one company specifically. So there's no data center to store data. So this ensures a higher level of ownership, talking about you're not just giving your data to the general cloud. You're like, no, I want a specific dedicated cloud only for me, or only, let's say, my employees can get to. So you keep control of your privacy. And private clouds can be customized. You can enforce hardware performance, network performance, storage performance. You know, like, you just have more control over it. And lastly, there is no monthly fees. You own your storage space rather than renting it, which might mean you have to pay upfront costs. But again, it's like your own private cloud. There's a whole bunch of private clouds out there. They're not supporting a podcast, so I'm not going to be doing any free advertisement for any of the private cloud solutions. But there's plenty out there. All you have to do is go on Google and check out a few. And if you have any that you want me to talk about, just hit me up on Twitter. You guys know where to find me, at KingCaleb3, hashtag PeopleInTech. But I hope you enjoyed today's episode, guys. We're trying to do more informative episodes like this. I'm trying to be more of a content creator and answer some of these episodes. Be sure to keep your eyes out for the Medium post talking about what we talked about today. What is a cloud? We're going to be putting out more content for our listeners, both on the podcast, both in writing format. I might transcribe and maybe upload some videos. I'm still working on how I want to evolve the podcast. But guys, we're almost to the end of the year. I want to say thank you for the love. Appreciate the support. It's been great doing this show. We got more episodes every Tuesday, 8 a.m., dropping a new episode. We got more interviews lined up. I got more tech talks like this in the future, and we're going to be covering current events as well. But to keep this episode short, I'm out.
Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.